Well, I would appreciate your prayers. I feel like the Lord's given me a thought and encouragement. And I feel very, been feeling very impressed that someone particularly needs this. We have a Savior. We think of salvation most of the time. We mention salvation, we think about the initial experience where a person yields their heart and life to the Lord, and they experience the new birth, regeneration, or whatever you call it, and are saved from their sins. And we all, most everybody here, knows what that experience is because we've experienced it. And that's what we usually think about when we think about salvation. But we have a life to live, and we need help through this life. Salvation is more than a one-time experience that we get. There is people that believe that somewhat, that you have that experience, then you go on in any kind of life you want to. But that's not surely not what the Lord has intended for us. And what He has intended for us is that we have an experience of, as Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. And we have that experience, and then we start a relationship with the God that loves us, and we start an experience with Jesus, and He desires to be with us and to help us and to encourage us as we go along our life here. This scripture over in Psalms, 46 Psalms, first verse says, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. And I want to encourage us today that we aren't left alone. You're not alone today in any sense. You may, have you ever felt alone in a crowd? Of course we feel alone in a crowd at times. I've had people all the way around me before and didn't think any of them understood me. Well, the truth about it was because I was in a crowd and none of them understood me, and that's why I felt the way I did. But the Lord understood. The Lord understood me totally about that situation, and knows everything about every one of us. This scripture says, God is our refuge. He's our strength. He's our tower. He's our helper, a very present help. He's a very present help. That means that I get into any situation that life... Have you ever been discouraged and not know why? Well, if you're a human being here today and you're not, I'd be surprised. It'd be very... All of a sudden, discouragement comes over you like a flood. And I talk to myself. I don't know about you all. I talk to myself. I don't use my name all the time, but I do something. Marty, why do you feel that way? I'll even say to my wife sometimes, I'll say, honey, I feel discouraged all of a sudden. There's something come over me. What just happened? And she'll start saying, well, you got that phone call. Was that it? No, that wasn't it. Well, the child's fever, is that it? No, that's not bothering me. What, trying to trace down why did this wave of discouragement come over me? And sometimes I can identify it and sometimes I can't. But the Lord knows about all those things, and He's a very present help in every time of trouble. Trouble will come, and He wants more than the experience to where we say yes. Back in 1986, I gave my heart and life to the Lord. He wants an updated version of a continual life where He's willing to be our Savior. They have different places along the beaches and different places and I guess swimming pools have different things. They have a lifeguard. And they also have people that train along the ocean to be able to rescue ships that's down, or first responders type thing. And they train vigorously for this. And I remember a story of a woman out on the West Coast, very cold water out on the West in the Pacific, and she liked to swim. And she got out there, and she was quite a good swimmer. Well, it happened, if you believe in things that just happen, but she got in trouble out there in the ocean, and there happened to be these men were training. They happened to be on the beach. She was the only one swimming, but they came in and they started training exercises for being able to rescue people. And she gets in trouble out there, and here these three, four, they see her in trouble, and here are these guys that are trained and worked at this and all this, and they happened to be, if you believe they happened to be, they were right there and took off and went and got her and rescued her. They saved her. Do you know we have a Savior that's a very present help in every time of trouble? I want to encourage us that we're not to go through as Christians through this life completely oblivious to the fact that we have a personal Savior. Now listen, salvation this morning, salvation is something that's personal to each and every one of us. The way to be successful in salvation is not to strain your teeth to be have faith or to try to make yourself something or anything that. The only thing that you need to be successful in this Christian race is to be honest. Okay? Jesus is going to do the rest of this. You may say, I don't know what to do or how to do it. You don't have to. All you got to do is be honest, because you got a Savior. You got someone that's interested in you to teach you everything you need to know. Get rid of all your biases, prejudices, anything that's in the way, and be totally honest before the Lord, and He's willing enough to take you through life teaching you everything you need to know. Why not? He died for you. If I say often, if the Lord loved me enough to die for me, surely He's not going to discard me or let me go or let me be in error in my life till I get to the judgment and Him say, aha, you're in error. No, the Lord loves me way too much for that. The Lord's going to, or let me ruin my home or my family or people around me because I don't know any better, or I'm ignorant, or I just don't want. No, if I'll be honest, this Savior that we have that died on the cross for us, He don't just end His work on the cross. It's finished means that it's bought, but He is willing to be with us as we walk through life. Isn't that precious? I want to encourage you today to take advantage of the one that's always there. See, what we do as humans, and we get this in our minds sometimes, what we do as humans is, I won't be feeling really good, and it'll be the middle of the night, and my wife will say, honey, do you want me to call around for prayer? Now listen, I really believe prayer works. Hey, we've proved that around here a lot. God answers prayer. But she'll ask me in the middle of the night, honey, do you want me to call around for prayer? And I'll say, no, I really hate to bother everybody. Right? Now listen, if it gets bad enough, you're going to get a call. But no, they're human. They get tired. They've worked all day. They're probably sleeping. All this, now listen, I don't want you all ever to think that I feel that way about you calling me. Because I never feel that way about getting up and praying for you. Never. But I'll say this, I do feel it the other way. I say, no, don't bother, we'll do this. We can pray to the Lord, those kind of things. But if we're not careful, we go through the life like God's some human that we don't want to bother. He ain't getting tired. He ain't wore out. He's not sleeping. We can call on Him and know that He's a very present help in every time of trouble. Everything that we need, desire, He's right there for us So he's wanting us to have a relationship with him to where we can be totally open, totally giving ourselves to him, using the Lord for what he is there for. And you know what his office is? He's a Savior. It didn't end on the cross. He sits on the right hand of God making intercession for you. He's active Savior all the time. Scripture over in 14th chapter of Matthew. 22nd verse says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when his disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And Jesus said, Come. And when Peter was come down into the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And he being beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. A very present help in every time of trouble. Lord, save me was the proper response for this situation. But I look at the human side of this. This was impetuous Peter. He was always the forefront of these kind of things. And Lord, bid me to walk on the water too. I want the challenge of this. I want the spirituality. I want the experiences of God. Going through this life, it's wonderful to see the Lord in anything. It always costs you something to see the Lord in it. I like when the Lord heals me. I like when the touch of the Lord, you have to be sick to be healed. Always comes with something. You experience the Lord? Well, the Lord worked wonderfully in that place where people were persecuting me. You have to be persecuted. The Lord is always in those kind of places and to help us. Well, Peter put himself out to the forefront and said, Lord, if it's you, let me walk on the water, the sea rolling and all this. It's going to be a great experience to step out there in the Lord. The only problem is that it comes with dangers too. And here's Peter, and he done. Listen, there's such a lesson. There's such a lesson in this. Listen, God will never fail. Listen, He's never failed, and your case won't be the first one. Okay, He's never failed, and He's not going to start with you. You in His hand will be victory. And He's not going to fail at all. But we do fail in these kind of things. And we desire things of the Lord many times as Peter did. And he got out there and what happens to us. This illustration is in the Scriptures for you and I to understand and relate it to ourselves that this happens to us a lot. It happens to me personally. Listen, I got a mind of what I want to do and how I want to do it and how faithful I want to be. And I go along doing that, and all of a sudden something happens, and my mind goes one way and another's, maybe yours don't. Listen, it's Sunday morning. I'm standing in the pulpit. Of course I'm going to say Jesus is going to help you. But in the middle of something, all of a sudden it's not there necessarily. You know what I'm saying? All of a sudden the sea's right, and I start looking around. And when I look around and see everything rushing at me at 100 miles an hour, I'll scream. I'll run. I'll do something. But Peter did the same thing. He got out there walking on the water. But this is in the Scriptures for a reason, folks. And our humanity will come out a lot. Our humanity will come out a lot of times. Now, I'm almost, Maybe I shouldn't tell it, but hey, the scripture says confess your faults one to another. So you all think any less, you just pray for me, okay? But I know a lot of times my wife and I will do something, and my immediate response is not, if y'all got it all right, but my immediate response is not always as godly as I'd like for it to be. And sometimes it's just like old Peter, when everything comes around and I'll respond in a certain way, and then I sit and say, wait a minute, can we do that again? Because I wasn't thinking in the right pattern or doing the right thing, and I'm a human and I got certain things and pressures and emotions and all the things that hell, and if it wasn't for my Savior, I'd be a case. Okay? But I've got a Savior that reminds me and helps me, and there's sometimes I've got to say, I'm sorry. Or I need help in this. Peter got to a place, and he's just a human, but he's, do you understand what he's doing? He's walking on water. He's a human walking on water. Folks, spiritually, we can walk on water. We do things that's not humanly possible for us to do. God helps us to have a grace beyond ourselves, a power of spirit beyond ourselves. We can live in a righteous way beyond ourselves, but sometimes we see the commotion and we sink. But we have a Savior. I want you to remember this in failures, because failures can really get us sometimes and discouraged. Sometimes people fail. I deal with people at the altar, and I know a lot of times it's their failures that gets them. I don't know what to do. Well, I want to encourage you in failures that the Lord is there to lift you up. Jesus sunk because he looked around. As long as his eyes was on the Lord, while as long as he had his mind and his heart on the Lord, nothing's going to sink him down. But he started looking around at the circumstances. You ever guilty of looking around at the circumstances and allowing the circumstances to build your thought process? To build your faith? Your faith falters. And you get down to the point that you can see nothing but doom and gloom, and you think everything's going to fall out from under you because you've looked at the circumstances of life. That's a good time for a Savior. I'm going to tell you, there's a Savior that's right there that understands all about this. And Peter said, Lord, save me. And right there was Jesus to reach his hand down and get a hold of his hand. And see, the water became fluent to Peter because his faith failed. Water went back to its natural state. He had to get to the point of buoyancy to stay on it, and he started sinking down on it, but it didn't affect Jesus at all. Whatever phenomena that he used for that did not affect him at all. He still was on a sound footing. And no matter where you're at today, Jesus' footing is sound. And when he reached down, he pulled Peter right back up out of there. And again, I think when Peter's hand touched Jesus' hands, and he had the realization again that I'm with Jesus. He was probably like, boy, I blew that one, didn't I? I messed that experience up to what it was could have been. Because reality, I could have been dancing out there. I could have been running circles. I could have been, if I had it on Jesus, but I lost. Folks, I've done this, I'm going to tell you, I've done this over and over again to where the circumstances crashed me so hard that I forgot that I had a Savior. And I want to encourage you today that we have a Savior. And there isn't a thing in life that can come our way, that what he can't handle, then that he can take care of it. Keep your eyes on the Savior. Another scripture, Mark 4. Well, I'll get the same. I'll get Matthew 8, similar. Let's see, is that the 23? And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and woke him up, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And in the account in Mark 4, they said, carest not? They said to the Lord, carest not that we perish? Now that's an awful thing to say to Jesus. The one that died for us. The one that loved us enough to sacrifice himself and give himself for us. I suppose he loves us enough that he cares whether we perish or not. Do you know that the Lord cares about how you feel? You may say, you wives may say to your husbands, my husband's pretty insensitive. He don't care the way I feel. Or you may say that to one another or whatever that. But I want to tell you, the Lord cares about how you feel. He cares about the small things of your life. They said to the Lord here that Jesus was sleeping in this ship. And again, these illustrations are for us to ponder. Jesus is asleep in the ship. And the storm rises, and you can see the picture. He's just indifferent about it. He just doesn't care. He's asleep. Just sleep through it. Honey, I want to talk. Oh, I'm tired of sleeping. I'm sleeping. You know what it is. I mean, you just don't care enough. I got emotional needs. I've heard that. I'm just understanding that. We need to talk or whatever. I'm tired. I'm sleepy. Whatever. Jesus is asleep. He's indifferent. He doesn't care. No, he's in control. Jesus was asleep because he's in control. Jesus ended up saying to the storm, peace be still. And it laid down like glass. Why? It's because he's the one that told it to get up to start with. The one that tells it the storm to start can tell it to stop. That's Jesus. He runs the universe. It's his. It's all his. So you're plagued by things in this. He said he's over all principalities and powers. He's over the whole sicknesses and diseases. He rules it all. He tells it to stop. He can tell it to stop. Do you care us not that we perish? You're in here asleep and not caring? Folks, the ship can't sink with Jesus on it. No way. The ship does not sink with Jesus on it. And Jesus, the only thing he could say to them was, oh, ye of little faith. Why are you doubting who you're with? We have a Savior. And when we focus in on that Savior's ability and what He can do, then if 1,000 be against us, it doesn't matter. Because He's with us, He can change all of those things. I have found it amazing throughout my experience with the Lord that times where I couldn't do anything, and gave it to the Lord. And said, Lord, I don't know what to do. It's bigger than I am. I don't know how to do it. It was kind of like the story of Sennacherib, Hezekiah and Sennacherib, where the great army of the Assyrians was coming against Hezekiah, and Hezekiah had a little old army. He couldn't contend with the great army of the Assyrians. And they told the people in the Hebrew language, don't listen to Hezekiah. He's going to try to tell you that your God can deliver you, but nobody else's God's been able to do it. So don't listen to Hezekiah, because your God ain't no better than the rest of them. We squashed them. Every one of them, we're going to squash you. So just give up and don't listen to Hezekiah. They end up writing this letter. If you remember this story, Hezekiah's got the letter. The prophet comes to him, gives him a prophecy, takes the letter. What are you going to do with this army that's bigger than me, that's going around squashing everybody, and we have no... And you look at the circumstances. Folks, when you look at the circumstances, logic tells you that you ain't big enough to do it. Everything tells you that you can't do it. If the circumstances don't change, you can't do it. But Hezekiah took it to the Lord and spread the letter out before the Lord. Prayed a prayer, O God that dwells between the cherubims. I bring my trouble the psalmist captured it better and said, "You are our tower, our hope, you are our very present help in every time of trouble." And he took the thing and laid it before the Lord and said, "Lord, true. It's true. Sennacherib and his Syrian army squashing everybody. Said we're small in their sight. It's true we're small in their sight. But Lord, they ain't small in your sight. I'm just going to give you the trouble. Lord, here's the trouble. Take my trouble." You know, I've been amazed in my life how many times I've done that. And the circumstances start peeling off. And leaves it bare, and everything took care of, and I never done anything because I couldn't do anything anyway. And I got to the end of it with peace in my soul. I never had to fight with nobody. I never had to argue with anybody. Only my duty was to love them and pray for them and do all that. And I've done all that, and the Lord peels everything else off, and it's made right by the Lord. Our responsibility is to stay honest before the Lord, close to the Lord. And the Lord wants to be close to us, and He wants to be a Savior. Not a one-time Savior. A Savior through your life to pull you up. Have you ever just had trouble in your mind of getting something right? Just have you ever had something in your life you just couldn't quite get over? I mean, there's people that's got temper problems and different kind of problems. You ever had these little things that you just needed help? One time my sister called me and said, "Marty," said, I had just witnessed the greatest miracle." I said, hold. Don't tell me no more. The greatest miracle. I got to think of this one. The greatest miracle. The Lord parted the Red Sea. You know, I have to say, that's pretty good. He parted the Red Sea. No, that couldn't be bigger. He actually stopped the solar system. There was a time where the sun went. Remember that one? That was big. That's actually stated in the scripture as the biggest, and never happened before or after. Nothing quite like that's the biggest one. So I'm going all through this through my mind, and I say to my sister, "This must be big. This must be a big miracle. What is it?" And she said, "He changed me." See, here's why that's the greatest miracle. Everything else is totally into the Lord's hands. He never gave it a will to do anything else. It'll obey Him perfectly. But He said to us, this part of the creation, He said to us, "I'm going to let you have your own will in it. You don't have to do what I want." But when you yield that to the Savior, He can make miracles out of it. He can change whatever needs to be changed. We don't have to go through life with these shortcomings. Lord, help us. I want to be as patient and as long-suffering about other people as I am myself. But there's no sense in having some of these deep problems 40 and 50 years into your salvation experience. Jesus is a Savior of that. That's what He wants to do. You say, "Well, I've been impatient all my life." Brother, you don't have to be. Because there's a Savior that came to make us different than that. Say, "Well, that brother done me wrong and I've never been able to forgive him." There's no reason for you to carry that 30 years. You can forgive them by the grace of God because there's a Savior that's willing to reach down. You're sinking in that unforgiveness. You're sinking in that bitterness of what's happened in your life. But there's a Savior reaching down to pull you up. "Don't you care, Lord?" Yes, He cares. The storms have come and it looks like you can sink under them, but there's one that can say, "Peace be still." Now, it's no big thing for the ocean to stop when the Lord tells it. But the greatest miracle is when we're all turbulent and striving and we allow the words of the Lord to sink into our hearts and says, "Peace be still." And the calmness of His Spirit calms our natures down. Sometimes so we can say, "I'm sorry that I got a line on that," or "You pray for me to put us in those places that the Lord wants to help us. Over in Matthew 28, 19th verse. Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, this is a very precious promise. For no matter where you go through life, no matter what you do in life, this is a promise that will go with you. And lo, I am with you always, even into the end of the world. I'll always be there. Wherever I send you, wherever you go, people may not understand you. People may be against you. They may oppose you. But where I'll send you, I'll go with you. I won't leave you or forsake you. I'll be there for the hand that reaches down. You get in trouble? Don't worry, you've got a Savior. You got one that's going to reach down and pull you out. You got someone that's going to help you. You got someone that's going to remind you about what you need to do and where you need to go and how you need to do it. You got a Savior. Thank God for a Savior today, one that's active and alive and wants to be a part of our lives. It's what the Christian experience is about. We can term it in a lot of different terms in the Scriptures. The gift of the Holy Ghost goes with us and teaches us into all things, all those kind of things. It's all kind of a big package together. However the explanation of it is, He is not leaving us and forsaking us in this life. So I want to encourage you today that no matter where you're at in life, there's a Savior. Just like that lifeguards, those first responders, those people that's going to pull you out. Maybe it don't always turn out well, but if you have an accident up down this road, there's going to be a call go in, and there's going to be pagers binging, and there's going to be rescue vehicle started up, and there's going to be people that's going to rush there to get you as fast as they humanly can, going to pry the car open or whatever they have to do to try to rescue your life. And I want to tell you, as a Christian, there is a Savior watching over His children to rescue us from any snare the devil has planned. Any circumstances are going to overwhelm us or take us out of the end. And sometimes it looks like right down to the end, it looks like there ain't a thing that can be done. But then the Savior reaches down His hand and changes the whole circumstance. He said, I'll be with you always. One more scripture I want to look at in closing is in Acts, 17th chapter of Acts. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill, 22nd verse, and said, Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you, God that made the world and all things wherein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in the temples made with hands. Before I go on with that, my understanding of this scripture is that he said that they were too superstitious, and most of the times the gods were driven by the human needs that people had to cover the various spaces of their life. If there was a person that went out on the sea as fishermen, they trusted in Neptune or Poseidon or one of the Greeks or Roman gods that was the god of that territory. You remember the time that the Israelites is fighting somebody and they had a battle and they won the battle, so the enemy scratched their head a little bit and said, well, wait a minute, we fought them up there in the hills, maybe their god's the god of the mountains. We better lure them down into the valley where there's a different god jurisdiction. We can whoop them down in the valley, just don't bite them up in there because their god is over there. Well, these people were by far too superstitious and they needed to cover all the bases, and they said, well, We got the sun covered. We got We got love and passion covered. We've got growing seasons covered. We've got the sea covered. We've got the rivers covered. We got all this covered. But maybe there's something we ain't got covered. So let's worship someone we don't. We'll just call it the unknown. And for every God that's out there that we don't know about, we want you to know that we're paying attention to you, so that you pay some favor to us. But Paul turns it to his advantage instead of starting. It's against the law to just start a new religion like that anyway and come up with another God. So he turns it to his favor and says, you're worshiping an unknown God. Well, let me tell you about the one that you ain't knowing that you should know. He's the only one there is. And let me tell you about him. And he starts telling them about God. I like the whole idea of it. Here it goes. God that made, 24th verse, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Now this is really meaningful that he said that he made the world and all things therein. There's a reason that means a lot. Because if he made them, he knows all about them. He knows the mechanisms to turn them on or turn them off. He knows everything about what he created. The fact that he created us makes it incredible. The one that made us knows every artery. He knows down to the bone marrow. He knows the molecules. He put them together. He knows everything about them. That's why it is so powerful that he created us. That's so wonderful that we get to worship and have a personal experience with the one that knows every brain cell. Every emotional part of us he knows. He knows our physical weaknesses, our emotional weaknesses, our mental weaknesses. He made us and he knows all about us. Who knows better about the vehicle than the one that put it together? That made it. You may have mechanics out there learning about it, but they can't know and understand it than the guy that engineered and put it together. He knows exactly how way it all works. Because he made it to work that way. Knows what the voltage has got to be. He knows how the signals are. He knows how everything's got to work. Because he made it. God made us. Seeing that the Lord, he is Lord, or Master. He's over heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needeth anything. Seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. And hath made of one blood all nations, men, to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed, and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him, and find him, though he be not far from every one of us, for in him we live and move and have our beings. Well, here's the illustration that Paul was saying to them. That term that he might feel after, that's relating to how close he is. And the idea is that Jesus is so close to us that if you were a blind man, you could grope and find him. That's the illustration. You're limited by your blindness. You can't see where to go. But he is so close that all you have to do is reach out. And you can touch him. If you reach out by faith to the Lord, he's close enough to touch. All you need to do is put out the effort to reach towards the creator of the heaven and earth, the one that has made all things, and that cares for us. In him we have our life. In him we live and breathe. In him is everything. And he made it. And he's telling these people that don't even know him, he's close enough for you to grope for and touch and find. He is so accessible. I think sometimes that we can get caught up in the cares of life so much, in the business of life so much, that we forget the one that is within touching distance. And I'm going to tell you, there is no way that you can be touched or touch the Lord and not be made different. The power of His being is too strong. When you contact, have you ever had a good contact with the Lord and you not feel different? Oh, I remember times that I would just need something so bad and I'd just go to my place of prayer and fall down. And my testimony was, is I never got up the way I fell down. Never. Because if I could touch the Lord, everything's okay. I don't know why I felt this way. It was very unique for me. I don't usually do this before a message, but I felt very strongly that someone needed this message. And the Lord wanted me to encourage that He's, whatever it is, He's right there. He's right there. And He wants to be a lifelong Savior to save us from the things that torment us in our lives. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.